This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Bad host. Bad host. Yesterday, I was teasing this soundbite all show long, and I didn't get around to it. I didn't get around to this soundbite at all yesterday. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, folks, on a Friday. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. We just plumb right out of time. Don't worry, I'm going to get to it. It's this Hillary Clinton soundbite. So telling. And maybe there is a silver lining to all of this, because at the end of the day, it was posted on the Drudge Report, the video that accompanies the audio you're going to hear. And it's Hillary Clinton unhinged. It's angry Hillary. It's shrill Hillary. And she's not talking to Donald Trump supporters. She's talking to her own supporters. Now, this Hillary dovetails with all the accounts from military personnel and Secret Service personnel and anybody who's ever served under Hillary, that she is really a contemptible woman. And because nothing is wrong with her, she's perfect. If her message isn't connecting and her gravitas, which is there is none, isn't connecting with voters, it's not her fault. No, it's her staff's fault. How many times in this campaign already has she thrown her staff under the bus? I've lost count. So the soundbite I'm going to play for you, because I really apologize for this, folks, not getting to it yesterday. And you guys have probably seen it. It was on the Drudge Report, and we had watched it earlier in the day yesterday, and it's just so good. And both the other the Chris Salcedo shows, your humble host remembered to play it then. So the folks here on the Blaze are the only ones that get a chance to hear it, and of course my particular brand of analysis on this. But suffice it to say, she's talking to supporters. She's talking to a union group. And she is, and how do I put this? It's not enough to hear the anger and spite and venom in her voice. You should see her face. Not that I'd wish that on my worst enemy. But if you want to get an up close and personal look at what it's going to be like to have someone of her caliber in the Oval Office, shrill and venomous and vindictive. And of course, if you're a conservative and you're an outspoken conservative, oh man alive, will she be coming after you with the full force of the U.S. government? And you don't think it can happen? Look at what Obama's been able to do. Obama's one of the most corrupt leftists on the planet. And he was able to utilize our system to victimize his fellow citizens who didn't agree with him politically. It's been astonishing to watch. Who knew there were so many people of low character serving in the federal government who would bend to his will? Now, I understand, look, the cat ran the economy into the dirt, even worse than it was than when Bush handed it off. Remember, unemployment spiked up in 2010. mean, it was bad there. So folks were really leery about losing their jobs, in particular government folks. As a matter of fact, government was the only growth sector in our economy for 3 or 4 years there during the Obama economy. So those who were employed via the taxpayers of the United States, and of course, future taxpayers and their grandchildren, because the debt just kept on piling up, that they were so fearful of losing their jobs that they would obey Barack Obama's commands to victimize their fellow citizens because they wanted to continue to feed their family. It's rather insidious, but that's the caliber of man that Barack Obama is. And and you think he's been bad? Wait till you get a load of Hillary. So let's begin today with how I should have ended the program yesterday. This is angry Hillary, shrill Hillary, yelling at her own supporters.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask? Well, the choice for working families has never been clearer. I need your help to get Donald Trump's record out to everybody. Nobody should be fooled.
And she's angry. She's frustrated because, you know, and that is so telling, because you know that Democrat operatives who have staked tied their electoral prospects down ticket to her are calling up her campaign. What is she doing? What's wrong with her? Why is she off the campaign trail for a week? What's wrong with her? Nothing's wrong with her. And of course, her campaign, nothing's wrong with her. She's fine. She's debate prep. What, takes her a week to get ready for a debate? There's something going on behind the scenes. We're not going to know. So they go up to Hillary, all these Democrats are calling us, and she loses it on this. And this was a video sent out to the unions, to her union supporters, and she's berating them. The only reason I'm not doing better is because you're not getting Donald Trump's record out there. No, it couldn't be that you're loathsome, Hillary Clinton. It couldn't be that you're the actual deplorable in this race, could it? It couldn't be that even among your own party, you are reviled. Could that be? No. Perish the thought. It must be other people's fault. This is what liberal elitists do, folks. It's why Barack Obama goes through an entire occupation of the Oval Office and nobody holds him accountable. Because liberals don't get held accountable for what they do. They get held accountable for what they said they wanted to do. Let me be clear. I wanted to help America. He didn't. As a matter of fact, our reputation around the world is shot. Our economy is a basket case. Our military is falling apart. Let me be clear. I wanted to be a good president. And the Brian Williams press, oh, he wanted to be. Yes, of course, he's a boob and an anti-American fool. Yes, we understand. But he really wanted to be a good president. All of these liberal think tank ideas that have no practical place in reality, they sounded really good. They looked really good on paper. Of course, they've never worked throughout human history, but come on, he packaged them so well. He really wanted him to work. And that's why you get Barack Obama overseeing a decline in the United States on almost every front over the last 8 years and not being held accountable for it. Oh, because he's black, you know. He's black. So when you're black and you're a liberal, you don't get held accountable for the crap you pull. You know, whether it be the Internal Revenue Service, weaponizing it. Same thing with the EPA, the Bureau of Land Management, growing government, raising taxes. But you don't forget, the man raised taxes by a record amount with the Obamacare legislation. Oh, yeah, don't forget Obamacare. What a wonderful piece of garbage that was, or as I called it on a video when I filled in with Pat and Stu, or for Pat and Stu, the crap sandwich. The ultimate crap sandwich. So let's just understand that liberals walk through life never being held accountable for what they do. except maybe behind the scenes, away from, that's why Democrats are calling up the Hillary Clinton campaign. What the hell are you doing? So she's hearing this over and over and over again, and finally she snaps.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
Well, you know what? You might ask. No, not might ask. She's getting asked this by elected Democrats all over the country. And the whispering and the murmuring. Why isn't she 50 points ahead? For crying out loud, Donald Trump's never run for anything in his life. Why isn't she 50 points? Why isn't she? Oh, hello, Hillary. Hi. How are you? So how are you, sweetie? Yes. Why isn't she 50 points ahead? Why is it? Come here, staffer. Hillary Clinton staffer. Come here. Why isn't she 50 points ahead? What are you doing over there?
Why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask? Well, the choice for working families has never been clearer. I need your help to get Donald Trump's record out to everybody. Nobody should be fooled.
He doesn't have a record with his policies affecting U.S. citizens, Mrs. Clinton. You do. He doesn't have a record of left-wing lunacy affecting all of us. You do, Mrs. Clinton. And that's the damnable misery of it. Now, rest assured, Mrs. Clinton, the Brian Williams Press is going to make sure that your record, rather extensive record, doesn't get brought up to where it'll harm you. But let me just say, as the antidote to the Brian Williams Press here on the Chris Salcedo Show, the Blaze Radio Network in general, and maybe some folks over there at Fox News, it will get out. Back in a minute. The Chris Salcedo Show, here on the Blaze.
Telling the truth. It's one of those jobs American liberals won't do. That's why we need the liberty-loving Latino Chris Salcedo.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
All right, welcome back. Glad you've made it to your radio republic. Unlike your current federal government, your views are heard, listened to, and addressed right here on this program. If you want to weigh in, I highly encourage you to do so today on the various discussions we're going to be having, because we will be talking to not one but two Trump surrogates. We've made the commitment to at least having one Trump representative on the program per week. And since we've made a connection with somebody inside the Trump campaign, we've had, well, I think it's, this will be three. After today, we'll have had three this week. We're going to be talking with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and he's been on the program before. We have a lot to talk about him with him as far as foreign policy is concerned. And then something altogether different. Someone who has not been part of the political landscape before, which is emblematic of the Trump campaign anyway, Coach Bobby Knight. Coach Bobby Knight will be here on the Chris Salcedo Show, so we will let you hear those discussions as they stump for Trump, as it were, ahead of the big mano y mana, the big dukaroo, the first debate, which, by the way, Doc Thompson from the Morning Blaze and myself will be leading you into and leading you out of. So we'll do some pre-debate analysis and some post-debate analysis here on the Blaze Radio Network with a particular, because there is a fun aspect to all of this. Hillary Clinton, decrepit and vacuous and devoid of any pro-American ideas. And then Donald Trump, who's never really done this before, but is used to excellence. So we will see where this all leads. The first debate is going to be crucial. It could all be over after the first debate. A lot of speculation about her health, a lot of speculation. There's a reason why she's resting so much for the weeks heading to the debate, is they want to make sure she has plenty of stamina to stand there for an hour and a half uninterrupted. No potty breaks, no ability to sit down. And I imagine she will be conditioned enough to handle that. There's a lot of speculation out there that she won't be, or that she was going to cancel. I just don't. This woman wants that position so badly. She wants to lord over you and enrich herself so badly she can just taste it. And I think she will find the will to do that and stand there. Now, we got three of these debates. I'm not gonna vouch for all three, but the first one, I think she's gonna be on her A game. I honestly do. A lot of folks I know that she's downplaying expectations, but I really think she will be the best she can be, which is not a very high bar, but I think she will be the best she can be. So anyway, please dial me up. You want to talk about anything that that is on your mind? It's kind of a free for all today. Me getting to a lot of subject matter that I couldn't get to earlier in the week. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Sara Saldana, you know that name? Director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, was being grilled yesterday. Have a listen.
As a former prosecutor, I'm just wondering how you can continue to square the existence of sanctuary cities with the duty of a prosecutor to ensure justice.
These cities that you're talking about, sir, have their own laws. Either the state passes them or there's a local ordinance over which I have no control. All I can do is to use my best persuasive powers to work with them.
Saldana Test.
That's from Fox News, of course, part of their report. And Saldana just said something that was rather interesting. And it shows you the level of, I don't know, professionalism that it takes to be part of the Obama administration. Sara Saldana does not understand or know that federal law trumps, pardon the pun, state and local laws. I think it's fascinating to see that to serve in the Obama administration, that you don't even have to have a basic concept of our system of government here in the United States. You heard what she said. Let me just replay her remark here.
The duty of a prosecutor to ensure justice.
These cities that you're talking about, sir, have their own laws. Either the state passes them or there's a local ordinance over which I have no control. All I can do is to use my best persuasive powers to work with them.
Yeah. So persuasive. There is, according to Sara Saldana, there is no such thing as federal immigration law. Can you believe this? Can you fathom the... I'm sorry. This is basic civics. My third grader knows that federal law trumps state and local laws. For example, according to Sara Saldana, we could pass ordinances in our cities across the country that say we can opt out of Obamacare. And there's nothing the federal government can do about it. According to Sara Saldana, I mean, if it works with immigration, why doesn't it work with everything else? From drug laws to, drug laws are already happening. See, what is at play here is selective enforcement. The federal government will enforce what it wants to and then let go what it doesn't. That's not justice. That's not the rule of law. That's anarchy. That's picking winners and losers. That's some Banana Republic crap, which is kind of what Sara Saldana and this administration stands for, Banana Republic crap. But I just found it astonishing that you have somebody that works in our federal government sitting there saying, hey, you know what? I work for the federal government. Nothing I can do about state and local passed ordinances, which is absurd, of course. It's absurd. And you know why it's absurd? It's because they passed a law in Arizona, SB 70. Was it 71? Anyway, long story short, it basically mirrored immigration law on the federal level. And the state would be empowered to enforce it. And the federal government sued. According to Sara Saldana, there's nothing she could do about it but persuade. Oh, no, no, no. There's something you could do, Sara Saldana. You could sue sanctuary cities. The same way your administration sued the state of Arizona over SB 70. But you don't want to do that because, you see, this is selective enforcement. You see, this is the banana republic that we've been treated to by President Obama. And again, another consequence of electing liberals, a negative consequence. Really quickly about what happened up in Tulsa. You guys may or may not have heard the officer that shot that man dead up there on the highway has been charged with manslaughter. Notice she wasn't charged, though, with a hate crime. Now, remember, according to Hillary Clinton and according to Democrats, she shot the black man because she was a racist, because she was a white woman. And Hillary was going to give her a stern talking to, you know, all the whites around the country. No hate crimes charges brought against this officer, although it's a serious charge of manslaughter. General Flynn, next.
The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo
is on the Blaze Radio Network.
SB 1070. Thank you, Mary Ramirez. I was trying to figure out the right. All these numbers, they all roll together. So SB 1070 in Arizona. But thank you, Mary Ramirez. Appreciate it. Want to welcome to the show somebody who's been on the program, well, quite frequently in this election cycle, somebody that I know and respect, and I've come to know, I should say, and respect, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He spent more than 33 years in Army intelligence, working closely with General Stanley McChrystal, David Petraeus, Admiral Mike Mullen, Director of the National Intelligence, James Clapper, and other policy and defense intelligence community folks. And they've been fighting on the front lines, this war on terror. He's the author of the new book, The Field of Fight, How We Can Win the Global War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. He's also a Trump campaign surrogate. General, welcome back to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Thanks for having me. It's it's an exciting time right now for our country.
It is.
Important time, very important time.
Crucial time, if one might say, because as Fox News was reporting yesterday, the current director of the DNI, a director of national intelligence, has been running interference for the Obama administration on intelligence from the Osama bin Laden raid. And among other things, General, this intelligence is said to hold definitive ties between Al-Qaeda and the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. And this is the reason why Mr. Obama and his administration has worked so hard to keep that intelligence from being combed over and vetted and released, because it would jeopardize his ability to funnel taxpayer money into the Iranian mullah's coffers. Would you comment on that, sir, what you speculate that intelligence holds, and why do you think we've not been granted access?
Well, so here's what we know. I write about this in the book, too, some of the ties between bin Laden, al-Qaeda, Iran, and the use of Iran as a way station, a waypoint, if you will, to move fighters and leaders and money and all sorts of things through Iran back and forth from Pakistan to Iraq when we were fighting in both places, which we still, you know, continue to do. So there is a definite relationship. We know that it goes way back. In fact, it even goes back to some of the attacks that were done against some of our embassies, where al-Qaeda was backed by Iran to do some of the attacks, particularly in East Africa. So there's a longstanding relationship. Now, what you're talking about is this lousy Iranian nuclear deal that gives the leading state sponsor of terrorism, according to our government and to our State Department, a pathway to a nuclear weapon and $150 billion. And we've already given $1.7 billion as a ransom payment for hostages. So what we're really talking about here, Chris, is we're talking about the administration essentially, you know, trying to run this trying to jam this nuclear deal with Iran down our throat, down the American public's throat. And they did not want anything to get in the way of the narrative that they were spewing, and a narrative that we now know, based on a interview by Ben Rhodes with Ben Rhodes, where he said we fooled the American public essentially over the last couple of years with this Iranian nuclear deal. So this is really bad. It's bad for our country. It's bad for our national security, and it's going to end up in even more disaster in the years ahead. Just because the Iran's not going to change their behavior, Al Qaeda, ISIS, they're not going to change their behavior, and we have to quit fooling ourselves thinking that we're going to be able to do that.
I mean, what a testament to Barack Obama's legacy, where he hides the intelligence from those who are in charge of protecting the United States, just so he can have this cozy relationship with the number one state sponsor of terror. It does boggle the mind. Now, you're advising Trump.
I am.
Is he aware of that intelligence, that it's not been properly combed over, it's not been properly exploited, and if he is aware of that, has he pledged that he will make sure that our intelligence agencies are fully briefed on what OBL's that OBL treasure trove of intelligence contains, and then act accordingly?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we have to bring back, and Donald Trump is doing this every single day. He's trying to bring back, you know, and convince the American public that this is about honesty. This is about trustworthiness between the president of the United States and the people of this country. And we've lost that. We have a deficit of leadership. Donald Trump's leadership, Donald Trump's strategic vision, Donald Trump's ability to make decisions, and Donald Trump's, you know, real press on those that are around him to make sure that we are always honest about what it is that we're doing and what it is that we say. And I think if there's a real strength in Donald Trump, it's his ability to tell the truth, you know, in many cases very bluntly. And I think that's why the American public are so attracted to him. But the answer is yes. And we've talked about this, and we've talked about this lack of honesty between not only the White House and Congress, but between the White House and the American public when it comes to this enemy that we're facing.
It's true.
And I address a lot of this. You know, I do. I trust a lot of this in the book because I felt so strongly that the American public was missing the message of what it was that we were facing. And a really important aspect of the book is the subtitle, and the end of the subtitle is "and its allies." And those allies are countries like Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, Russia. And I take these countries on as sort of friends, if you will, of these other totalitarian regimes in the likes of ISIS and Iran.
Yeah, you know what? And it was so bad. Not only are the American people missing this intelligence, President Obama is missing the intelligence, because your entire time working in the administration, he never wanted to meet with you. Lieutenant General. Yeah, it is something. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, my guest, folks, and the name of the book he's been referencing, Field of Fight, How We Can Win the Global War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. Congressman Pete Sessions, I just want to let you know about this, here in North Texas, is sponsoring a bill, and this tells you where we are in this country, prohibiting a chief executive from paying ransom to a country like the number one state sponsor of terror. What does it say how far America has fallen with Obama when our elected leaders have to pass a law like that? Let me get to China if I can. They continue to militarize the South China Sea. They've constructed these islands. They have now put anti-aircraft defenses, fighter planes, and it's about $5 trillion in annual trade at stake, General. What does Donald Trump propose we do about what's going on with the communist Chinese?
Well, you know, part of this is that we have to do what I would use the phrase, actions speak louder than words. All our response has been under the Obama administration, and frankly, Hillary Clinton is the one that had the, you know, originally the sort of the pivot to the Pacific, the Asia-Pacific strategy that we were going to have that under her State Department time created. Nobody even talks about that. That was a complete failure. What we're really talking about is taking the appropriate actions with both economic means, so our financial strength that we still have, we still maintain, although it's not where it needs to be, and also our military strength, is to be able to do things that are within the international legal limits, but to be able to show that we mean business, period. And what we have done is we have allowed China to just build up strength in the South, you know, the South Pacific there, the South China Sea, and frankly stretch their muscles out in ways that they have never done before. And our administration has told, particularly our military, nope, keep your hands behind your back, you know, tie them together. Don't do anything until I tell you. We have what I would call nano micromanagement from the White House right now.
Wow.
in the military, and it's terrible.
Hey, General, I've only got about a minute left. I've got to ask this question because it's going to be thrown at Donald Trump throughout the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
This tie that the Democrats are trying to make between him and Vladimir Putin, and you know what Putin's been up to. He's been attacking U.S. allies, the Ukrainians, and seizing their land. We promised to defend them. Of course, under Barack Obama, we do not. He's also enabling Bashar al-Assad, who is using chemical weapons and slaughtering 500,000 of his own people. Can you put to bed right now this idea that Donald Trump is a Vladimir Putin fan?
He is not a fan of what Vladimir Putin represents to the world. I mean, Vladimir Putin is a totalitarian, president in a country that is a communist-based country. So, I mean, there's no connection there, and this is just another attempt by the left to paint Donald Trump as something that he is not. What Donald Trump is he's a strong leader. One of the things that we must figure out, though, is we have got to figure out, how do we work with other nations in the world that have a common enemy in radical Islam? And the Russians have a common enemy. And that's where Donald Trump is, you know, he is looking for options to help defeat radical Islam. And I'll tell you, if one of those options is to work in coordination with the Russians in a place like Syria or Iraq or in different areas against radical Islam, because they have that as a common enemy, believe me.
All right.
We have to figure that out. So thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate the time on the station with your listeners today.
Pleasure is all mine. The Field of Fight, How We Can Win the Global War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. The author, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Sir, always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll get you back on, but certainly before the election rolls around. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Breaking news right now as we go to break. Ted Cruz says he will vote for Donald Trump. Back in a minute, the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. Join the swarm.
Twitter hashtag Salcedo Swarm.
Only on The Blaze Radio Network.
Salcedo Show.
All right, welcome back. Hey, but all you cruisers out there who were getting a little upset at Ted Cruz, now look at it this way. The man is keeping his word. He said he would back the nominee, whoever it was, and he's doing it. And, you know, I don't know how... Donald Trump has not been a mystery to anybody. Not since the beginning of the campaign. He's not been a mystery. Probably one of the most well-known figures to ever run for political office. And they all made that promise. I would say they all made that promise and expected us to take them at their word. Some of them made that promise with the firm belief that Donald Trump would never be the nominee for the Republican Party. So they thought they were safe. I'm thinking, of course, of John Kasich. John Kasich. As a matter of fact, he's in Texas, where I'm broadcasting from. At any rate, he's not going to endorse Donald Trump or say he'll vote for Donald Trump. He's not supporting the Republican nominee. He's going back on his word. How good is John Kasich's word in the future on anything he says? Ted Cruz, despite the rancor and the personal insults to his wife and to his family, just to his wife. His family was insulted by the Washington Post, who depicted his children like monkeys. There was a cartoon, a cartoonist, left-wing cartoonist, who depicted a Latino man's children as monkeys, which is okay for liberals to do that because, you know, liberals are as pure as the wind-driven snow. And they liberals, even when they're racist, they can't be racist. So at any rate, Ted Cruz saying, and according to what I am reading, Ted Cruz, quote, "I will vote for the Republican nominee, Donald Trump." I don't know if you can say that's an endorsement, but I think that Senator Cruz has looked at it the way I look at it. And it is this. You put Cruz and Hillary side by side, and there's no contest as to who is better for the country. Is now, can you say that these are our best choices? I think there's room for debate. In particular, whether it's Hillary Clinton. I think a lot of Democrats would come out and say, well, debate whether or not she was the best. But certainly, nobody's going to sit there and tell you that Donald Trump was the best choice for the Republican Party, although I will make the case that I think, given the situation that this country is in, that his being the nominee makes all the sense in the world. I understand it. I understand what's going on here. I'm reading the country and giving my opinion on where a lot of folks are. And I pay attention to politics a lot more than the average Joe does. I understand that. But I also do try to view it. And you probably have these people in your life that aren't as glued to the radio, talk radio, as you are. Maybe not as informed, but still have a basic, there's a basic knowing that something ain't right here in the country. And it's because we have gone so far left. Full tilt bozo, big government lording over your life, controlling your life, and there's just something wrong in the country, ushered in by Obama and his ilk. And you want to see that reversed. And Hillary Clinton's not the answer. She's pledged to introduce more of the cancer. Donald Trump is not part of anything that's happening to us right now. Whether you think he's good, moral, a fantastic choice, there's one thing you can never peg Donald Trump with, is saying that he's responsible for any of the chaos and destruction happening in this country right now. As a matter of fact, you can make the case, and I think this is credible, that Donald Trump's ascension is because of the aforementioned chaos, because the Lord of Chaos, Barack Obama, has gone virtually unchallenged by the alleged opposition party, the Republicans. They've made their bed, and I've taken a little heat for saying this, but I think it's true that no matter which way this election goes, the Republican Party is finished. There is no leadership there. There's no rudder there. There's so much going on right now, and it's detrimental to the country. Where are the Republicans? Closest thing I've seen is Paul Ryan getting out there and spanking John Kerry on the rear end. Long overdue.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vatches. I don't have to show you any stinking vatches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, some more breaking news. It looks like the family out in Charlotte has released the cell phone video. Folks, it's just coming down the pike right now, and I'm watching it. At least, what was this? Maybe we're just getting it here. Well, no, actually, 3:38. Yeah, well, just till about 22 minutes ago. And, man alive. I'm watching it. Holy moly. It's really shaky. I don't know how you can see anything from this. This is the video, folks, and you'll have to pardon me, as I just got this loaded just as we were coming back on the air. The video showed either the man getting out of his vehicle with a book or a gun. And the cell phone video is being held by, I think, Lamont Scott's wife Let me read from CNN here. Dubious source. Family of Keith Lamont Scott has released cell phone video recorded by his wife that shows the moments leading to his fatal shooting by police in Charlotte, North Carolina. Video is the first publicly released footage related to the shooting, which spurred days of protests. Protests. See, this is why you should never read from CNN. Yes, there were protests, but they forgot days of looting and vandalism and attacks and beatings. That's the full story. CNN, yes, it was days of protests. Who's writing this dang stand? It's just CNN. So whoever the writer was here seems to think that when you beat a white man and he's begging for mercy, well, that's just a protest. That when you break a store window and you start ripping things off, you know, a little five-finger discount, oh, that's a protest. When a civilian shoots another civilian in the back of the head, just protesting. Now, when cops do it, it's a crime. When a cop, whether it's justified or not, shoots a suspect, oh, well, it's, you know, it's a death. It's a death, says CNN. Man alive. The video I saw, you guys watching it in there too? Skip, are you watching it? Yeah. Can you see anything? It is too quick. I can't. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure why the family's releasing this. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn up pressure on the authorities to release the badge camera video that they're holding on to. Now, the family's seen this, and they say, oh, it's not clear at all. Didn't clear things up for them at all. Well, you know, you got to think that the family's a little biased. Just saying. But anyway, that's what's going on right now. So we've got two breaking stories. Senator Ted Cruz, a bitter rival of Donald Trump during the primaries, has said he will vote. He will keep his pledge. He will keep his word and vote for the Republican nominee for president, who is Donald Trump. Now, I don't know if you can call that an endorsement. You know, I'm sure that the Cruz campaign will couch it somewhat in a similar way that I just did. The senator's keeping his word, which is more than can be said for the others who gave that pledge, some of the others who gave that pledge on that stage. And Governor John Kasich comes to mind, that mealy-mouthed pansy who runs Ohio. If John Kasich had won the nomination, that probably would have been enough for me to sit this one out. That would have been, I mean, some guy who looks at the conservative movement with disdain and disgust. John Kasich didn't used to be that way. John Kasich used to actually have principles, used to stand for something. Doesn't these days. And can't seem to put into context what this country has just endured. John Kasich is one of these individuals that I classify as, oh, you know, Obama's just been another Democrat. Obama, yeah, just another Democrat. You know, it didn't matter. Hillary Clinton, you know what? It's the ebb and the flow of our politics. He is incapable of recognizing the transformative individual that Barack Obama has been, the destructive individual that Barack Obama has been, the harm that he has done to our nation, to our children's future, the instability he's introduced onto a global stage, the empowerment of our enemies, the discouragement and abandonment of our allies. And here's John Kasich. Yeah, no, just another Democrat. No, Jimmy Carter was just another Democrat. Incompetent, yes. Idealistic, absolutely. Living in an imaginary world, yes. Barack Obama is none of those things. Barack Obama has done what he has done with ruthless intent, with scrupulous intent. And he has And he, I should say, inscrupulous intent. There's no way that you can do what he has done, in particular when it comes to Iran, in particular when it comes to Obamacare, when it comes to his policies, the growth of government and the destruction of the private sector, looking at 1% growth or less and going, let me be clear, that's great, that's the way I want it. You can't. Nobody could be that stupid. Nobody could be that intractable and that stupid. So he has a mission and he's fulfilling it. And I've thought about this long and hard about how Republicans have decided they wanted to combat this, stand in the way or not stand in the way of this. And I've tried to figure out what they're thinking. And I don't even know if I should say this. I've come to the conclusion that a vast majority of Republicans in leadership have decided that Barack Obama is the Manchurian candidate we all know him to be. And they have it in their head, if we just try to mitigate his damage, just let him do what he can do and pray that there's a country left over, we can pick up the pieces later. But when you have someone who is so out of bounds of the law, someone who is so destructive and doesn't really care what damage he does to the trust of the American people and its government, doesn't care what he does to the trust that elected leaders have among themselves, when he just doesn't give a rip, when he doesn't care that it's all about the agenda, cutting America down to size and empowering despots and dictators all over the globe, when that's your mission, and you know that's who you're dealing with, and then, of course, you've got a complicit press that's willing to kiss his rear end every step of the way, what do you do when you're a Republican? Sure, you can stand up and be ridiculed. Ted Cruz did that. Or you could just sit back and pray. You could sit back and say, well, this is what the American people voted for. And I think that has really been a calculation that has been running through many a Republican office as they've watched this man's wanton destruction of our country. It's like, oh man, if we stand in his way, it's really going to rip the country apart. Just best to let him, kind of like that parent with the temperamental child, you know, just best not to upset him. You know, it won't, hopefully we'll just get through it. Getting into the psychology of these politics it'll drive you nuts. It has me. I've really tried to figure out Obama, and I think I've got him pretty much figured out, but the lack of opposition to Obama, I still don't know what's going on there. Whether it's like, well, America's done, we're just going to get what we can get. I mean, I thought about that too. Many Republicans, well, we're all screwed. He's done so much damage, it's irreparable. I'm just going to get what I can get and save my family and let the rest of the country go down the toilet bowl. I've thought about that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these are the thoughts that have entered into my mind. I'm not saying that it's actually true among all Republicans. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Mary Ramirez coming up next on the Blaze Radio Network.
Broadcasting with Latin flair, this is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Coming up with the Chris Salcedo Show, I had the opportunity to visit with, well, sports legend, Hall of Fame coach Bobby Knight. He's stumping for Trump. And wait till you hear this interview. I had to interview him earlier on the day because of scheduling. But I'll even tell you what one of the first questions I had for him was, Coach, I can't remember you doing this for anybody else. Why are you doing this? And the answer to that question coming up with Bobby Knight on the Chris Salcedo Show. But in the meantime, Mary Ramirez, someone who's been a staple of the Chris Salcedo Show for a good many, can you believe it's been years now, Mary Ramirez, almost since the very beginning, and she is back with us for our weekly visit. Howdy.
I cannot believe it's been years, Chris. It just flies. But yes, I am back this week and with good connections, so no more coming out.
I know. For those of you who weren't with us last week, she was in Mexico. And I mean, you had pretty good solid bars there, right? But
yeah, just, you know, like I said, we were talking about Trump, so who knows?
I don't know. Those federales, man, they're pretty crafty down that way. Look, what are you writing about this week?
Well, Chris, I'm writing about the recent terror attacks that we've experienced. You and I have discussed this has just been such a crazy week between Charlotte and Tulsa and the attacks and the campaigns. It's just been insane. But I was, as you said, down in Mexico, and I got a text message from my sister because I was sort of unplugged from things. And she goes, "Are you seeing what's going on?" I said, "No." And I'm looking, and I see St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is where I was incidentally born. And I have family still there, and I'm watching this unfold. And then I later on find out that I had family in that mall just a few hours before the attackers started running through and stabbing people. And I was shocked at how unfazed by the news of the attacks I was until then it became very personal. And then it sort of shook me out of my stupor. But I'm so angry with how open this president has left us to danger, how open our government has left us to danger. And I wanted to get my thoughts down on paper and get a few questions out there for my fellow Americans. You know me, I like to question and to dig and to make people really think. So this week's piece is Refugees, Terror, and Our New Normal, 5 things I need to ask my fellow Americans. So things like, you know, I love how candidates like Hillary Clinton will come out and say, we really need to slow down and wait till we have the facts when it comes to an Islamic extremist attack.
No, she doesn't say that at all when it comes to a white female police officer. Doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, even though this woman wasn't charged with a hate crime, she was charged with manslaughter in that shooting death in Tulsa, this a female police officer. But she wasn't charged with a hate crime. But Hillary Clinton is saying, oh, she was a white woman and she was shooting him because he was black. She was already calling it a hate crime before charges were filed.
The investigation hasn't even started. She wasn't there. She hasn't seen the videos like none of us have. And yet, we've got it. It was unjustified and it was racism. And yet the reaction to the terrorist attacks, well, you know, we need to caution you not to draw conclusions about the incident before the facts are in. We have the facts, okay? ISIS claimed the Minnesota attacker as a soldier, and the other dude in New York praised a former top Al-Qaeda leader and referenced the Islamic State. We have the facts. I'm very sorry. You may not like them, but we have the facts, okay? Yeah. And it just drives me insane.
Well,
we don't have conclusions. We don't have facts yet in the case of these officers.
Hold on, Mary. Hold on. Mr. de Blasio, New York City mayor, can we call it terrorism yet? No, still can't call it. You just still don't have enough. Let's see. He called Allahu Akbar when he was stabbing the people in.
No.
Oh, so you're still not convinced, right? Oh, okay. The guy was praising jihadis there when he planted bombs. Still, you can't call it terrorism yet. Thank you, Comrade de Blasio.
Chris, silly bunny.
Nuts.
Common sense is for kids, okay? Seriously. Honestly.
Yeah, well, how old is she? 8-year-old, almost 9. My 9-year-old has more common sense than these liberal Democrats do.
Right, exactly. Well, and as you bring up Mayor de Blasio, who was it that just came over from London? The mayor of London came over and he talked with Bill de Blasio, and he pointed out, you know, living in an urban location, well, terror attacks are just part and parcel of that life. So
Get used to it.
Terror attacks are part and parcel of a government who refuses to take the evil and cancerous horror of Islamic terrorism seriously. Instead, they're out there running around chalking this up to a battle of narratives.
Yeah.
No, this is not talk. This is an evil philosophy that believes in crucifying children, raping women, and setting people on fire. These are horrible people. And it's time that we get serious about it. In my home state of Minnesota, Chris, you and I had this conversation about what the Somali refugee situation has done to this state. And like it or not, we are the epicenter of the last refugee migration. We are the largest concentration of Somali refugees in the country. And unfortunately, the repercussions from that have been terrible. And I'm not saying Somalis are bad people. I happen to know several that are quite wonderful. There's a man who's working in Little Mogadishu. His nickname is Bihi. And he's down there working at a community center trying to keep these kids off the street and out of the hands of these terrorists. Mm-hmm. But that being said, unfortunately, they are coming over here with an ideology, a frame of mind, and it just... They are coming over here with ideas that don't jive. They're not assimilating.
No,
and they're
being
drawn into terror by the hundreds.
I understand precisely what you're saying, and I think that you've and I said something similar to what you've said. The reason why there's the new normal of every single time there's a police involved shooting or action, there's going to be a riot. The reason why we have why we're having to get used to terrorism is because it's not because that's just the way of the world. It's a consequence, a direct consequence of electing extremist liberal Democrats. This right. is the reason why we are less safe, because Barack Obama's in the Oval Office. That's exactly the reason why we are less safe. You elect Democrats in your legislature. That's why you are less safe. You elect a Democrat in the Congress or in your for dog catcher. That's why you're less safe.
And Chris, I'll end it with this. They are asking us to put our kids second. Okay, you and I both have kids. Millions of Americans around the country have kids, and we're seeing pictures of these refugee children, okay, come across our screens, and our heartstrings are tugged, and we feel terrible for them. And I do. I want to help those people. I want to help good people, okay? But until our government gets its butt in gear and gets its act together, we can't do that without endangering our own children. This is the same government who, Chris, you point out, just this last week, you pointed out, they gave citizenship to over 800 immigrants that were slated for deportation because they were from countries of interest or they had a long rap sheet.
Oh, they did it on accident. Air quotes with the fingers. Yes.
Shoot.
So there are going to be some Americans who are at risk.
Hey,
no problem. We have an open border anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
I mean,
so, hey, let's speed it up from 24 months to three, vetting process.
I know.
Sure.
Hey, and if you libs want to check me and Mary on that, go just check with the Associated Press. They're the ones who wrote that up late last year. Mary, what's the name of the piece?
Yes, Chris, it's Refugees, Terror, and Our New Normal. Five questions for my fellow Americans.
And where can they find it?
So today, this one is actually up on my blog, afuturefree.com, same as my Twitter handle, afuturefree.com.
There you go. And you can also check. We've tweeted that out on the Chris Salcedo Show Twitter account and also on Mary Ramirez. Many of you who are following me are also following her. So thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. You have a great, great weekend, lady.
You as well, Chris.
All right. Folks, coming up next, my conversation with basketball coaching legend, American sports icon, Bobby Knight. And this is going to be, I'm not used to interviewing sports figures on political matters. But you know what? The reason why this appealed to me so much, and the Trump campaign's putting him out there, the reason why it appealed to me so much is that, remember I told you guys I was sitting in my living room the other night with my father-in-law. And my father-in-law was shaking his head at the TV screen and what he was seeing. Obama's new normal in the United States of America. And I just, this is kind of an everyman's perspective, you know, because sometimes I get a little immersed in the political ins and outs. And this is just kind of a breakaway, maybe some good old fashioned common sense, non-political reasoning coming your way. Supporting Trump, Bobby Knight on the Salcedo Show.
The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. I had the opportunity to speak with Coach Bobby Knight earlier on today, and you guys are going to hear some references to Texas, because that's, you know, for those of you who don't know, the Salcedo Show is here nationally on the Blaze Radio Network, but we're also in the great state of Texas in a couple of the major cities there, in Houston and in Dallas-Fort Worth. And on WBAP is where Bobby Knight came on and had a discussion with me today. So you're going to hear some references to Texas because Mr. Knight does have connections with the great state of Texas. And you guys have heard me talk about the state in which I reside, which is not my original state of origin. I come from California, the People's Republic of California, and never going back because I just value freedom and liberty too much. And coming out here to the great state of Texas, it does have a lot of advantages. the aforementioned liberty and freedom, just some of them. Being able to work another, being able to have a house, a roof over your head, the cost of living is a lot lower. I mean, that's why so many people all over this country are flocking here. But anyway, the only reason I say that is because I wanted you guys to recognize where some of the references to Texas are coming from. So without further ado, you're going to hear me explain, we have made a connection inside of the Trump campaign, and we have made it, we've made it known to them that we want to get on as many representatives as we can, at least one per week. And we're angling for Newt. We're angling for Governor Mike Pence. And we'd like to get Donald Trump back on, although that's seeming highly unlikely between now and Election Day. But you never know. Hope springs eternal. But this is how the conversation went earlier today on the Chris Salcedo Show.
And this is just the way it's going to work out from here until Election Day, folks. It's sometimes it's feast or famine. We've made a commitment to get at least one representative from the Trump campaign on per week. And this week we've had three, and it's been fantastic. And we want to make sure that we get as much information out to you as possible in different perspectives. And man alive, this is going to be a different perspective from basketball coaching legend and American sports icon Bobby Knight. Sir, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
It's nice to be there. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Well, I got to tell you, Coach, first off, let me ask you this question, because I don't recall you ever stumping for a political figure in your illustrious career. Have you done this kind of thing before?
I never thought I had to. I think that I'm like you. You know, I have a great love for the United States and of America. And in this situation, you know, I spent a lot of time studying. I was a history major in college. And I've always followed presidential elections and one thing and another that has to do with military selections and so forth and so on. I just felt that several months ago, I thought, I'm going to pick a guy if I were choosing a president, who would that be? So I went through a whole list of guys, women, men, whatever, the guy that hit me the most, really, without knowing a whole lot, although I knew him and I'd met him and been around him, but the guy that hit me the most was by far Donald Trump. So I really started studying St. Donald. I really started studying him and paying attention to what he did and how he did things and getting to know him better. It came very quickly to my mind that under these circumstances that will be existing when we have a new president, there is nobody that can even come close to bringing the tools to the table that Donald Trump can. And in that, I mean this. You know as well as I do that this next president is going to inherit a lot of problems. And it's going to be a guy that's a tough-minded guy, a smart guy that can fight problems and eliminate problems. And that's what Trump did as a person. He's not national. He's international. He's had businesses all over the world. He's gotten people jobs everywhere in the world. And in doing all that, like in any situation, he's run into problems, but he's solved them. He's made better things out of things, and he's been able to solve these problems. Now, here's what I did when I coached. Now, I want you to think about yourself as one of my players.
Okay.
It's my job to provide you with the best tools in this game against Michigan. Here's what Michigan does. They've got a really good press defense, and they play a good 3-2 zone. Now, it's my job to see that you and your teammates have the tools to defeat that defense and that zone and that press. And it's not their job. Their job is to do the job, but it's my job to see that they have the tools to get the job done.
Right.
And that's where I think Donald Trump is far and away the best guy for this current job because of what the situation is and what it's going to take to get us back where we want to be.
You know,
does
something
that make sense?
And no, it does, Coach. As a matter of fact, and something else you said that made sense to me, and just an experience I had just two nights ago, I came into the house and my father-in-law was sitting there, and he's watching all the rioting going on, and he's watching, you know, the status of this nation, and it's this perpetual shaking of the head. And when you, how you and I just started the conversation, you're saying, I never thought I'd have to get involved in something like this, but here you are, a former, a legendary basketball coach, and you're getting involved in national politics because and this is what's striking many, is that there are people that used to be on the sidelines that are getting involved because there's something wrong in America with the likes of Barack Obama in charge and the likes of Hillary Clinton in charge, and you feel compelled to do so for love of country. At least that's what I'm struck with. Is that, does that about cover it?
That's exactly how I feel. You're right on the button with it as far as I'm concerned. I have studied this and paid a lot of attention to it. And over the years, as I said, I was a history and government major in college, so I've had some interest in it, and I've paid attention to past presidents. I'll tell you what I do. I basically compare guys to Reagan. I'd gotten to know Reagan a little bit, and I thought Reagan was great. And as that thing progressed and moved on and into these current circumstances, I drew up a little list of people that might be involved in this. And when I looked at my little list that I'd drawn up, there was only one name that stuck out, and that was Donald Trump. And the more I studied it, the more I thought, this is what we need. Maybe not in every circumstance do we need a particular person, but certainly in this circumstance, we needed a particular person. And I think it's the guy that brings the most tools with him to straighten out things and the problems he's going to have. And this guy is far and away the leader in that regard.
Legendary basketball coach, Hall of Fame basketball coach, sports icon here in the United States. Bobby Knight is our guest right now, folks. And as I mentioned, there are some things that have become in vogue, Coach, in the United States in these last 8 years, where terrorist attacks were being told by a certain segment of our population we've got to get used to. Riots after police take action, whether it's right or wrong, that's become the call of the day. And now it's become fashionable for sports players to disrespect the American flag and the national anthem. And I've got to ask you, if Colin Kaepernick or those who are following in his footsteps were your players, would you have any words to say to them?
Well, as far as that's concerned, if he was one of my players, he'd be looking for another team to play on right now.
Yeah, okay. I think a lot of folks are with you.
That just wouldn't happen. I mean, you know, we've got to get things involved. You know, there have been a lot of black people that have given their lives for the United States of America, and there have been a ton of white people before that the black folks were even in the military that gave their lives to the United States. And when we look back on all those people that have given everything they've had to the United States of America, that's something that we should give a lot of consideration to. And I'd just like to see us, you know, there's really something to all people are created equal. You know, we all have two legs and we all have two feet, and we may be a different color here and there, but we got to be the same. And
we're all Americans, right?
That's exactly right.
I hear you, Coach.
And when you, whether you're white or black or green or whatever the hell you are, when you condemn America, you're condemning everybody.
And I agree.
From my standpoint, you know, as I've said all along, my responsibility as a coach was to give my players the equipment they needed to win. And now that's what we're confronted with right now. The new president, as I said, is going to inherit a whole lot of problems. And we need to have a guy that has the tools and the wherewithal to win and overcome these problems. And in this particular circumstance, I don't think there's anybody that even comes close to bringing the tools to the table that Donald Trump does.
I got you. Hey, Coach, I know you got another interview scheduled, so I got to cut you loose. But very, very quick question, very quick answer. When you coming back to Texas, do a little dove hunting.
Well, it's getting cold in Montana right now. I'm going to be back in Texas before long.
That's great. Well, you make sure you stop by. I know the morning guys here on WBAP would love to have you
in
studio.
I'll tell you about it. I was glad that I had an opportunity to coach in Texas at Texas Tech, because I got to the point where I had a great feeling for the people of Texas. The people of Texas are pretty special people. They're
yes,
smart,
sir.
They're tough, and I'll tell you what, they love America.
Well,
and that's enough for me, and I really enjoyed the time that I was able to spend coaching basketball in the state of Texas. You folks got an awful lot going for you.
Yes, sir, we do, an awful lot. That's Bobby Knight, everybody, here on the Chris Salcedo Show. We'll wrap up the week coming up next on The Blaze.
He is quickly becoming the left's favorite pinata. Only problem is, this pinata hits back. Chris Salcedo. Oh, on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to the Latino conservative, Chris Salcedo, on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, while we're talking politics and while we're talking Texas, former governor of Texas has been, I don't know if you guys have seen this, has been on Dancing with the Stars. Governor Rick Perry has been dancing, twinkle toes, on Dancing with the Stars. And he did not get cut in the first round. He made it past the first round. Well, the folks in the parody department, the WBAP players, took notice of this and, well...
He tries to dance, he tries to jive, having the time of his life. Oh, Lord above, show him love, he is the dancing gov. Monday night, a flip on TV. Holy crap, what's this I see? There is Governor Perry. It's just a bit scary, a little sissy Mary. Who's the governor's PR guy? To agree to this, he must have been high. They're playing cheesy music. The girl he's with is fine. He wants to learn how to dance. And now he has the chance. He is the dancing gov. Well, sort of should be hunting dove. Dancing gov. What the heck are you thinking of? Oh, oh, yeah. He tries to dance and he tries to jive, having the time of his life. Oh, Lord above, show him love, he is the dancing gov. Watching you is a doggone hoot. Can you pirouette in your cowboy boots? Doing a little two-step, just like the good old days. Let's hope the judges don't say adios, mofo.
Say that?
He is the dancing gov. Well, sort of should be hunting dove. Dancing gov. What the heck are you thinking of? Oh, yeah. And he tries to dance and he tries to jive, having the time of his life. Oh, Lord above, show him love, he is the dancing gov. And he tries to dance and he tries to jive, having the time of his life. Lord above, show him love, he is the dancing dove.
WBAP players with the Friday song. You gotta have something to smile about as you're going into the weekend, so there you go. Images of Rick Perry dancing in your head. I don't know. Maybe you can think of something else more jovial than that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the show for this week. Remember, until you and I visit again on Monday, a society's worth is not measured by how much power is seized by its government, but rather how much power is reserved for its people. Have yourself a great weekend, folks. Back here on Monday, the Salcedo Show.
You're listening to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.